Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. How was it? How was the weekend? We were blessed at the Patton household. I'm going to talk about this. Hey, call a friend. Tell him he's on the air. You're going to hear it. News, information, comment, opinion, lots of Bible. Right after this, important message. There's rejoicing all over the place today. Our Jalila Joy, after 8 days in intensive care at Lutheran Hospital here in Fort Wayne, home. Isn't that something? Her heart stopped beating a little over a week ago. My daughter, Rebecca, administered CPR and the EMS rushed her to the emergency room. Touch and go all the way, and I think your prayers. Isn't it something? God hears and answers prayer according to His perfect will, and there's a big lesson here for all of us. I'm so grateful to you. I say it all the time, and I trust you know that I mean that sincerely. Just knowing you're there and that you are praying for us, our ministry, and all that God is doing, it is such, there's such peace to be found in that. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. He rings in miracles daily, and we need to recognize that and give Him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In the world is going on. Dateline Chicago. Expressway shootings continue to surge there as authorities search for some answers following the latest two incidents on the same day at different areas across the city. In the first expressway shooting on Thursday, according to Illinois State Police, an unidentified male driver crawling along morning traffic on I-290 witnessed a robbery taking place on the Chicago Transit Authority platform. That driver pulled over to the shoulder, exited the vehicle, and opened fire. The individual, who has not been identified by authorities, reportedly hopped back into the vehicle and peeled off. No injuries related to that. The second incident happened when a 22-year-old passenger in a vehicle traveling southbound on I-94 at Old Orchard was shot after someone in another vehicle opened fire. The victim's injuries were minor, not believed to be life-threatening. There have been 137 shootings on the Chicago Area Expressway so far this year, as of yesterday, Sunday. Isn't that something? When we head up into Minnesota, Milwaukee, we're there. Just unbelievable. Meanwhile, in other parts of the Windy City, 70 people shot, 12 killed in a violent weekend in the city. Chicago's WLS-TV said the first fatal shooting occurred Friday when a gunman shot a man multiple times who was walking near the sidewalk on the city's south shore. Hard to believe. 12 dead, 70 shot in a weekend. The family of a one-month-old girl shot in the head earlier this month there says they're moving out over the gun violence in the city. Terriana Smith was one of seven people injured at a mass shooting in the city's Englewood neighborhood in July 1st. She was recently discharged after spending 15 days at the hospital. "I'm getting out of here today," she said. "I'm leaving Chicago. I really love this city. I can't stand this anymore." You know, I look around here in the great state of Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana, one of the best cities to live in America. Hard to identify with some of this. We need to pray about it. Brittany Benson, a Chicago mom of three, she has trouble seeing. She's no longer going to be able to depend on her 15-year-old son to help her get around after he was killed in a shooting last Wednesday. "I told him, 'Son, you're my eyes. This has been one of my biggest fears. I told him I love you and don't want this to happen to you.' One of the worst calls a mom can ever get is that her son has been killed." My, oh my. Over to New York, it was the setting for the introduction of the popular television program Friends, where the all-star cast was seen playing in a fountain in New York City's Washington Square Park after dark. A lot's changed since then. Gone are the days when one could imagine a playful group of friends enjoying a late-night outing in an iconic urban oasis. New York City's once beautiful Washington Square is succumbing to urban decay. You don't want to be anywhere near that. According to the latest available crime data there, rapes there up 67%, murders 42%, and felony assaults 12% year to date. My, oh my. Watching Good Morning America yesterday morning before church, they were talking all about the trouble in New York City. One of those numbers that just didn't seem real. All of this, murders, assaults, rapes, 97% committed by people of color. What else is happening to the new America? The case is over a beating inflicted by police officers in Oklahoma on Jarrell Edwards, who was in his parked car, inebriated, when officers from Muskegee, Oklahoma, confronted him. The Rutherford Institute has filed an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court asking for help from the justices to protect the rights of police beating victims. The man just mentioned was complying with police orders but was subjected to excessive force and brutality, including being thrown to the ground, tasered, and placed in a chokehold that rendered him unconscious and required his hospitalization for 3 days. Lower courts so far have given a pass to officers. If you ask police what Americans should do to stay alive during encounters with the police, they will tell you just comply, cooperate, obey, not resist, not argue, not make threatening gestures or any statements, avoid sudden movements, and submit to a search of their person and belongings, says constitutional attorney John W. Whitehead, president of the Rutherford Institute. The problem is what to do when compliance is just not enough. How can you maintain the illusion of freedom when daily Americans are being shot, stripped, searched, choked, beaten, and tasered by cops for little more than daring to frown, smile, question, challenge an order, or just merely exist? If you've listened to my show very long, you know I am pro-cop, pro-military, all that stuff. But friends, this ain't right. Satan working overtime. Police think they could be ambushed at any moment in any situation, and the people do not trust the police at all. Dateline Kern County, California. A chaotic standoff there. Two deputies shot, one killed. While the SWAT team tried to gain entry into a home, the suspect was shot, condition unknown. A lot of confusion at this point. Multiple officials and law enforcement agencies offered their condolences to the Kern County Sheriff's Office. The office did not confirm the death yet of the deputy. Wasco Mayor Alex Garcia said, "At this time, I would like to share that my heart goes out to the families of both the deputies. Nothing can prepare us for a tragedy like this." And that could be a daily statement from almost any mayor in any city in America. It's a flood of evil. Question might be, where is paradise on earth? My oldest daughter and her husband hit Cancun recently. Loved it. Paradise on earth. A Texas firefighter found dead at a hotel in Cancun over the weekend where he and his wife were celebrating their 10th wedding anniversary. But his family has doubts it was an accident. The family of Elijah Snow, a firefighter of 8 years with the Arlington Fire Department, said he may have been kidnapped and murdered after Mexican officials said his body was found early Monday trapped in a hotel bathroom window. That one remains under investigation. More news right after this. Well, it's been a chaotic week at the Patton household, both home and church. We are so excited today. This morning, Jalayla Joy Webb, my daughter's daughter, released in the hospital after 8-9 days in intensive care. Her heart stopped beating recently. Rebecca did CPR. EMS rushed to the hospital. She has been there ever since. Just been amazing. On Facebook, I put the word out there. Hundreds responded. Almost immediately, 300 of you were praying. My daughter, my wife, believed that you had a big part in that baby's recovery. I posted a picture of my 74-year-old wife who has trouble standing more than 5 minutes, standing over the baby in ICU with her hands on the baby's head and praying for half an hour. Unbelievable. And within hours, some miraculous things began to happen. over the weekend. Improvement, improvement, improvement. And home today. Praise the Lord. And then, what was going on in church yesterday? Yesterday was most unusual. I've been frustrated, having worked in radio and television since I was 12 years old. I hate glitches. I used to do a radio show, and if something happened, bad timing on introducing a song or any number of things ruined my entire show. We have had nonstop trouble with sound equipment at our church, just like an explosion going off as I'm speaking. They bought a lot of new stuff and were at the church Saturday night till midnight, said we're good to go tomorrow, Pastor. We weren't into the message more than 30 seconds, and same old, same old. We've had all kinds of technicians and experts in there trying to get the sound resolved. I've been in churches all over America, big, small, and in between. No glitches whatsoever. At one point yesterday, in my frustration after telling the church about this, even before I began to preach, there it was. I just ripped the mic off my head and and the main unit out of my suit pocket and threw it across the room. How frustrating. But that wasn't the topper. First time in 33 years preaching at the cross. Most of you know that we are writing a book on the enemy, The Invisible War on the Saints, and whether you're victim or victor. And since the start of that, it has been nonstop trouble in church for me physically. It is just some of the most unusual things I've been through, and I've been through a lot with this. Yesterday, strange. I'm preaching in the back of the church. The last pew is a man that looks so sinister. I'm preaching. Where did this guy come from? Never saw him before. He just had the strangest look, my friend. I several times paused and looked back. He didn't look at me, I recall, one time. His head bowed throughout most of the message. And I thought, who is this guy? Who'd he come with? How'd he get here? So after the service, had several things going on in the afternoon. I thought I would just check. So I put out a text to the entire church. No one knew who he was. In fact, no one saw him. Two of my men, Leo and Joe, were just a few feet from him. They did not see him. No one saw the man that I described. Interesting, don't you think? So many saying, woke, what is wokeness? Wokeness has infiltrated every industry in America, from the military to the media to philanthropy. It has succeeded in spite of a lack of public support, no support. But according to the Hoover Institution Senior Fellowship, the man is Victor Davis Hanson. You stop this stuff, you can. The word was first printed in a 1962 New York Times essay that long ago, and traditionally has meant conscious or aware. The Oxford Dictionary notes that the term originally meant well-informed or up-to-date, but now chiefly means alert to racial or social discrimination and injustice in this country. Wokeness, as we think of it today, has its roots in decades of critical theory coming from universities. Today, it's intertwined with cancel culture, critical race theory, and progressive activism, all of them wrong. And it is everywhere you look. The U.S. military has offered personal development classes focused on diversity, equality, and inclusion. And General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, defended the teaching of critical race theory and other woke curriculums in military academics before the House Armed Services Committee. Is there no end? That is something to pray about. I thought it was interesting. Yesterday, one of you sent me a former military official, retired now, saying some strange things happening in America. And nothing official here, but a lot of military people are starting to put together their preparedness program of food and other necessities. What is that all about? And then one of the men in the church said that our local National Guard here at the Fort Wayne International Airport, a two-star general visited a couple of weeks ago. And he was sharing that we need to keep our eye on China. Oh, boy. Our military is moving around the country right now in some strange ways and in unusual places. The question is, what is happening? I told our church, I believe something really big is coming down pretty soon in America. Do you realize that we have fires and hurricanes and tornadoes and flooding and earthquakes all over the world? Well, I believe it. He is coming soon. Read Matthew 24. Read Luke. Yeah, it's time. You've heard it said, let your conscience be your guide. Really? Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this short message. Hey, pray for us. Getting ready to have some MRIs and other things taken for severe back pain and neck pain. Almost went to the ER overnight. Going to find out what's happening, and I know surgery is inevitable. Prayers work, and I would like to avoid all of that, but it's in God's hand, and sometimes He allows certain thorns in the flesh for reasons. Glorifying Himself, that's what it's really all about. But we, again, would covet your prayers. Thank you for being a big part of our ministry every day here on Hello World. God bless you. And as always, a big, big thank you. Well, when we ended last week, I was sharing some thoughts with you on your conscience. Everybody has one. How does that work as the Holy Spirit directs versus a conscience that everybody has? I think I can tell you this safely. Only when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior does your conscience function as God intended it to. I mean, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, the moment you trust Jesus, the conscience becomes a very powerful tool to help you make right choices within the context of the Word of God. Instead of being instructed by a worldly system of values, your conscience gradually reprograms according to God's value code. That's why it's so important for you to read the Bible and be praying. The Holy Spirit instills God's Word and interprets correctly the message your conscience sends. Read John chapter 16, starting there at verse 7. Again, your conscience does not do the guiding. It's simply a first alert system. The sirens are going off to let you know that an issue needs immediate attention. The Spirit then brings appropriate biblical principles to your mind and urges you to do the right thing. Paul certainly had an excellent reason for wanting Timothy to understand the importance of keeping a good conscience, right? I mean, like any sensitive precision instrument, the conscience can fail quickly, and you can find it in disrepair and misuse unless it is properly preserved and taken care of. If you refuse to listen to its urgings and avoid dealings with the pertinent issues of life, it won't be long before you suffer from a soiled conscience, one that is muddied and has a lot of unconfessed sin in there. That's dangerous. You may feel weighed down, burdened with the heaviness that comes from guilt and resulting insecurity in your life. Do you have that today? Sometimes a more subtle problem develops. If you have a continual feeling of guilt and condemnation that you just can't identify the source of, you may be the victim of a struggling conscience. You've taken every problem and sin to God, but still you can't shake this sense of something's wrong in your life. Basically, I believe this is the conscience in overdrive, one that is hypersensitive and excessively critical. For some, the cause is a background of legalism or devotion to all those man-made rules. Others take on responsibilities that are not their own, and therefore they feel to blame when things go wrong in life, even events beyond their control. In any case, false guilt is the culprit, and it slowly paralyzes freedom as a believer. For those who continue to ignore the warning signs from the conscience, those signals, and deliberately persist in rebellion against Almighty God, then a seared conscience is the result. the kind that Paul told Timothy to guard himself against in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In the original Greek, the word seared literally means to be cauterized. You're familiar with that. Or burned. This conscience has been so stifled, so burned out that it no longer functions properly. It's dead, it's silent, it doesn't work. Is there a cure for this? Can we get out of this condition? I think according to Acts 24:16, yes, we can. I, Paul, do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. He made himself transparent there before the Lord by confessing his sin and repenting and recognizing the forgiveness and purity he had in Jesus Christ. Then he could say, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's Hebrews 9:14. You know what you need to do today? Ask the Lord to show you the truth about what's going on in you. He'll point out areas of concern that by yourself you just can't put it together. Read John chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Read 1 John 5, 14 and 15. When he reveals the problem to you, it's not enough to merely acknowledge the wrongdoing. You've got to move toward repentance. You say to him this, God, I choose to turn away from what you have shown me. And then, Lord, I want you to show me how to walk obediently before you. Genuine repentance always involves emotional and physical separation from the old way. Now listen, my friend, once you have restored that conscience where it works again, then you're ready to sharpen things up for action. You're ready for the war. Get that sword sharpened. The more your conscience is programmed according to the Word of God and His standard, then the more accurately it detects discrepancies in your life. Isn't this great? You need to pack yourself full of the truth of His Word, absorbing His precepts and allowing Him to incorporate them into your daily life, your behavior, your thinking. As a man, a woman, a child thinks in her heart, so is he. Got to get that stinking thinking right and get that conscience right. Memorize the Word of God as much as you possibly can. Memorize Psalm 119, verse 11. Ask Jesus Christ today to help you apply His principles and then be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit as you make these choices. As Romans 8:1 reminds us, the healing touch of God wipes away guilt, encourages your heart in His grace, and instills the solid foundation you need for every decision in life. You need it today. With your conscience resting in His holy, capable hands, He guides you through even the worst moral storms. And while things seem to be falling apart all around us, you realize God is in control. This thing is going to work according to His plan. You can have real peace today in a troubled world. And finally, over the years, there's a few tricks to the trade. A man asked me for a dollar recently. I told him I only carry big bills. He said, okay, give me one of those. So I gave him my electric bill. I think I'm like many of you. I become cynical in so many ways. I asked my doctor how long he thinks this COVID thing's really going to last. He responded with, how should I know? I'm a doctor, not a politician. And there you have it. I posted this last week on Facebook, and it's just good. Makes you think. Live every day, today, as if this is your last day. And love those around you like it won't last. It may not. You've been listening to Willow World. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, and comment daily on this Christian radio station. Get a chance, thank them. Get a chance, send them some money. Every one of them needs every penny. All the time. Thank you for being here and supporting Greg Patton Ministries in prayer and with your finances. We love you. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. Have a great Monday.